baptizing out there. Well, this lady and her daughter wanted to get baptized, and her husband was the sheriff, and he forbid it, and he didn't want him to get baptized. And he came out to the tank with his gun and holster and badge and Stetson and boots and everything, and he said, "Preacher, if you baptize them, I'm going to kill you." Now, we think we have it bad now. That's some commitment. But that wife said, "I don't care if you die or I die, baptize me anyway." So he did. He baptized her. That's pretty brave of a preacher, isn't it? John's been to some weird, wild baptizings, but nobody threatened to kill you that I know of. But anyway, so here she went down in the water, and she came up speaking in tongues. And that sheriff jumped off of the bank into the water, and he said, "Baptize me, preacher, baptize me." And the preacher said, "I can't baptize you till you receive Jesus as your Savior and Lord." He said, "I did that when I jumped off the bank." But you know, so many times we think, oh my goodness, being a Christian is kind of hard. But I tell you what, it used to be hard also. Let's receive our tithes and offerings. And we want our offering to be a sweet sound, a sweet smell, yes, to the Lord.
Yes.
He doesn't need our money. And yes, thank you for giving to this church, because we pay the bills. Mm-hmm. And yet it's a higher calling. It's, yes, a higher thing to give to the one who loves you and has, yes, given you everything. Yes. Oh, Father, we praise you for this opportunity. And we give not because you commanded, not because you stand there with a big stick, not because you count every penny. But we give because we love you, and you love us, and you receive, and we thank you so much. And then you are so good that you turn around and say, if you'll give to me, I'll give back to you 30-fold, 60-fold, even 100-fold. And Lord, in the Bible, we read of Isaac who got a 100-fold, but we read another place 1,000-fold. Lord, we want you to bless us as much as you want to. We receive it. Our hope is in you, Lord. And we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Oh, Father, we thank you. Jesus, we thank you. It was a horrible, horrible death that you died, but it was not in vain. You died for us. You died and took our punishment and forgave us from our sin and made it so we can be right with God and live with him now and all through eternity.
Amen.
We remember. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Both prisons, all kinds of prisons. Some people walk around here and they're in prison to fear. They're in prison, like these people are sexually, like pornography. That's a bondage. Some people in bondage of the body, health or whatever. And so, like you said, it's so wonderful when we realize Jesus bore it all and paid the price. And by faith, we can walk away from it. I know I'm still growing, but some of the things that God took me out of bondage, you know, because that bondage controls all your thoughts daily. Every moment you get up, that bondage controls you. Fear of not having money. Fear of not, somebody threatening your life and everything. Some people have fear of getting on the interstate. You know, things like that. That's a bondage. That's a prison. So, and Jesus came to deliver us from all of them. Thank you. Now, today, the Lord, this is unusual. Usually he gives me the teaching, like right away he gives it to me. Then I got to go study it out so I see what he's telling me, you know. But this one, he worked on all week. Very detailed. So that means to me that we need it, and I need to get it right. So, that's Elizabeth. I spent a lot of time on. No, we won't talk about faith. Now, he told me to present it this way. There's a natural faith. Okay, that means I believe tomorrow there'll be another day. I believe the sun will come up, and I believe the sun will set. I believe that in the car that I drive, I get in and I trust it. And, you know, I'm going down the road and I see a green traffic light. I believe the people from the other direction is going to stop. That's faith. But that's natural faith. Okay? And also, like, when you fly an airplane, you believe that pilot knows what he's doing. You believe that airplane's going to stay up, right? See, that's a natural faith. And sometimes Christians get confused in the natural faith and the spiritual faith. I'll call it, it's actually faith in God, but allow me to call it spiritual faith, meaning that faith is that is birthed in the spirit realm, not in the natural realm. A man that is not, a woman that is not born again doesn't have that kind of faith. That's how you get born again. When you hear the word preached, the gospel preached, you hear that supernatural or God faith comes into you, you receive it, then you confess Him as Lord and Savior. And see, it came through the Word of God. And I know you've heard this preached, faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. So, you see, that's how we got saved. We heard the gospel preached, and it brought faith, and we received it, and it was enough power in that faith that it caused you to become a new creation, one that didn't exist before. Now, but that is a supernatural faith, or a God kind of faith. And then you got an all natural faith that we go through every day using that natural faith. Now, I know that all y'all believe in eating, right? You eat food every day. And you believe that when you eat it, it's going to what? Nurture your body. That's a faith. A natural faith. I mean, and most of us, unless we have an issue, we lay down in the bed, and we believe we're going to get sleep and what? Rest our body and our body restore. All those things are natural faith. Okay? Now, let's switch over and begin to talk, honey. Let's go to that one. Mark 11:22, we're going to talk about spiritual faith now, because it's not like the natural faith. Because you can obtain natural faith. For example, most all of you have a bank account. And I don't know that personally, but most people nowadays have a bank account. Well, you believe when you put money in there that you're going to be able to get it back out. That's a natural faith. Okay? Some people say, I don't put my money in there. I mean, I've been about a whole group of people did not use a bank because they didn't trust it. You mean? And I'll smile. I can't join you. I mean, I get paid. I only carry around in my pocket thousands of dollars. That's worth it putting in the bank. Never mind. So Jesus answered. So who's speaking here? Jesus. So remember what Jesus said. He said, I say nothing unless I hear the Father say it. Amen. So that means that whatever Jesus said, you know the Father agrees. Because he said, and Jesus said, I do nothing unless I see the Father do it. All right? Amen? He said, so Jesus answered and said to them, the disciples, have faith in God. Now, let's talk about the word faith there. Let me say it this way. It means fully trusting God, fully relying on God, being confident toward God, and fully persuaded, and He is able, and He will perform His promises to you. That's faith. See, like it says in Peter, by Jesus' stripes we were, means had, it's already done, were healed. And see, when you are living by natural faith, you go by what your body says, not what the Bible says. Spiritual faith says, yes, I know my body's hurting, but I believe God will heal me, because he paid the price by his perfect son taking stripes on his body. Okay? See the difference? And all of us, when we're learning to believe God for our health, we go through the challenge of, and see, I was, for, I don't know, probably about 3 years, I didn't know the difference. And see, I say, body, you shut up. And I'd believe God, and of course, before the week was out, I was totally healed. No matter what it was, I was totally healed. But see, then God corrected me. He said, I put those warnings in the body to tell you how to pray. So I no longer ignore them. I see them, and that tells me how to pray. So if my knee's hurting, I ask God to heal my knee. If my back's hurting, I ask him to heal my back. Because my body is telling me, and God created that way, to tell you what's hurting, that tells you what's wrong. So you then know how to pray. Amen? So that's natural faith. I know if my body's hurting, I need to be praying. But that is not what I'm going to depend on. Amen? I depend on what God says, and that is a spiritual faith. Okay, now so that's when you have faith in God. You believe he, and you are fully confident and fully persuaded, and you trust him with all your existence. Now, you know how to do that because you already said you were a sinner and you needed Jesus, and you confessed him as Lord and Savior, and you repented of your sins. So you already have trusted God fully with your eternal existence. And you trust that he paid the price for your sin and death. See what I mean? So you've already exercised spiritual faith. And because you, by spiritual believing in Jesus, or spiritual faith, you confess him as Lord, then confess your sins, and then he calls you to be born again and become a new creature. Amen? Now, I don't want to get into that in detail, but basically, faith is the substance of the thing you're hoping for. So when I heard the preaching of the gospel and realized I was a sinner that has sinned, and my reward of my life would be death, the lake of fire, death separated from God, then I realized I need a Savior. And God said, I have the answer. I sent Jesus for you, and he died and paid for your sin. He bore the curse. He bore death. He bore your judgment. And I reached down and raised him from the dead and set him at my right hand. And you confessed him as Lord, and you have set your destiny to be in heaven for eternity. So your faith in that case was the substance of your eternal life. Amen? Because Jesus is the hope. Right? Now, let's go further here. It says, I say to you, whoever says. Now, Christians, Jesus said this, okay? Jesus answered, and he said this. So we know that God will back it 100%, because Jesus said himself, I say nothing unless I hear the Father say it. So therefore, these words, the Heavenly Father will back it with everything he has. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not, what? Doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says. He says will be done. He will have whatever he says. Now, here's the thing. All these saying is connected back to faith toward God. You just keep, well, here's That's more news. Oh, I think I will taste it. No, it don't that work that way. It's faith in God's word. That's so important. When we're witnessing somebody, we always point them back to Jesus and not ourselves. Amen? Have faith in God. Now, let me read this to you. Fully trusting God, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Relying on God, Matthew 8, verses 8 and 10. Being confident toward God, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. And fully persuaded to able and being fully persuaded that God is able and desires to give you whatever he promised, Romans chapter 4, verse 18 through 21. I want to have those given to you so you can have places to see where God's talking about trusting him, relying on him, being persuaded in him, and also so you would have trust toward God or faith toward God, because we're commanded to live by faith. Amen. Now, let's go to Hebrews 12 and 1, please, ma'am. Okay. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Now, what he's referring to is the things of life that hold you back from going forward in your walk with God. Oh, I would love to talk about those things that weigh people down and hold them back from going on to a deeper and more fulfilling walk with God. But every person has different things that hold you back. Some say, well, I put my heart in there, and years ago, and I was working hard with that pastor and that preacher, and then he committed adultery in the church. I can't trust him. And one person was like, oh, I was dedicated, giving everything I had in church, and I was working in the church, I was all involved in the church, and the pastor, he's stealing money from the church. I can't trust him. And one of them says, ask God to heal my friend, and God let him die. Oh, okay. I thought man had the right to choose life and death and blessing and curse. You're blaming God for what they chose. But that's the American way. Blame somebody else. And it acts as your fault. Hit me with one. Well, it is. I see people all the, oh, it's your fault. Oh, really? I haven't been there. How's it my fault? So, if we don't lay aside the sin, so what? Come on. So what? Easily ensnares us. So the purpose of you keeping the ways of the flesh, the thinking of the flesh, and the ways of the world, the purpose of those are to what? To snare you. They're in prison. By the things you refuse to let God wash out of you by the washing of the water of the word. Amen? Let us run with endurance. Note that Christians are not supposed to be walking through life. They're supposed to be what? Running. You know, if you're running through, look, say I've got blinders on, right? And Brother Phil says, run, run. I can't see anything. I'm in darkness. So I got to what? Trust him. Rely on him. I start running. He says, right, left. Because I trust him. See, that's the way we are supposed to be with Christ and the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, stop and wait. I want to stop. I want to go over there. I don't stop and wait. Woo. I don't know how many traffic wrecks I miss because the Lord, see, I tell him, you take the wheel anytime you want to. I'd be driving along just happy on the interstate, and all of a sudden, car over in this lane. Somebody flies by 95 by me. I said, wow, I'm glad I got out of their way. Right? But see, I fully trust him to move that vehicle or that car or truck. I trust him to move it any way he wants to, anytime. And sometimes my car just stops. When the light's green, somebody runs to a light. But see, I'm just saying how we can fully trust God and Jesus in every way, walk of life. And if we don't allow him to stop us and hold us and us being patient, we will be wanting in life. We will be wanting in life. But if we learn to have patience and he says stop, he says go, and we obey him, then we will walk entirely in life and won't want anything. Amen? Now, to endure through this life without getting wounded, being hurt, being disappointed, we're going to have to trust and study his word and be grounded in his word and learn how to follow him. Because the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Amen? All right. Let's go forward here. So we see there that we and I like this. God says, hey, you want some witnesses? Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. I listen to a lot of them. Daniel, Moses, right? Ezekiel. He goes down through the people that trusted him. He said, that's your witness. This, I will take care of you. Amen? Amen. Yeah, see? He said, I gave you a whole cloud of witnesses. Not one, two, three. And even like Ruth. What's that other old lady?
Esther.
Esther, yeah. He gave us ladies too. Amen? Let's go forward. Watch this. Looking unto what, who?
Jesus.
Who what? That's why Christians get born again and get so unsatisfied in their Christian walk. Because once they were born again, they come to a point when they stop looking to Jesus. Jesus authored your faith. Who's going to complete it? Who's going to complete it? Or finish your faith? Now look, you're born in the image of God when you're born again. In the image of God the Father, Jehovah, El Shaddai. And you are in his likeness. Who's going to finish that? Jesus authored that birth. He's going to finish you. Amen? He'll make us like him. And see, when you're born again, there's a desire inside of you to be like him. And you see sad Christians. They're sad because they're ornery. They're sad because they're hung up on something else rather than looking to Jesus. Amen? Hey, all of us have been disappointed at some time in our life. I like what Gloria Copeland says, get over it. Get over it. Everybody has been there. Nobody has been to that. Because you're in this world and Satan is here. And he's coming at you with everything, trying to kill you, trying to destroy you, trying to steal from you. Okay, let's go one more. So we've got to look to Jesus. Watch this. I say through the grace that given to me. Watch this. You have grace from God. Amen. What is, to everyone who is among you, do not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly. Do you want to think like a drunk? Think you're such a great puppy, or you can do something so great. I got to stop here, but I want to leave you with this thought. When I first got, like I said to you before, I was raised in church, but I wasn't even born again. When I got born again, I didn't know that at the time. Then I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and I began to see visions. God began to translate me, and I usually don't share these stories because I count them loss. There are things happen to teach me things so I could do my job in the kingdom. And but to know him, there's nothing on this earth, nothing. Even as much as I love and create this glorious lady God gets to be with, I don't love her more than I do my Father and Jesus, who gave everything for me. I want to be like them. And see, if I move into pride, I will fail. Look at the next part, and we'll finish here. As God has what? Come on, say it. As God... So, God gave you a measure of faith, gave you a measure of faith, gave each of you the measure of faith. God measured to every man and woman that's been born again a measure of faith. Now, remember what Jesus said? Faith the size of a mustard seed, not a measure. Come on, not a measure. God measured the faith out to you. But size of mustard, you can say to a what? Mountain, and it will remove where you tell it to go. So faith, the devil does not want you to learn how to use faith. Because when you do, his work is over. Because faith quenches all the darts of the evil one. Ephesians chapter 6, the armor of God. So we're learning how to use that measure of faith like God would use it. Amen? It's a challenge. We have to change our thinking. We have to change the way we do things. Because he don't do things like I do. He's not going to say, John, you're so good. I won't do my things like you. They don't work that way. He created me. I need the creation. Creation needs to learn how he does things. Right?